And in baptism, we are made clean. And that cleansing is easy enough to see with water, especially for those of us who've been raised in a place where clean drinking water is not only common, it's expected. Because we can go to just about any tap in the country, other than Flint, Michigan, evidently, and find drinkable water coming out of it. But what if that water had something in it? I mean, do we trust the water that comes out of the tap in Mexico? What if it came out of the tap brown or green? What if it were water saved by the butcher after cleaning his cutting boards? Would we still look at the water, that particular water, in the same way as something that would make us clean? Well, probably not. And if we don't trust that kind of water to make us clean physically, then there's probably just as unlikely that we'd use dirty water in our baptismal font. Because what sense would it be to be physically cleansed by becoming physically dirty? Because that's what baptism does. Now, bear with me here. Now, we love baptism because in baptism, Jesus works for us. In it are the promises of Jesus. In fact, we see baptism foreshadowed all over the place in the Old Testament, from the Spirit hovering over the waters in Genesis 1, to the flood in Genesis 6 through 8, to the crossing of the Red Sea in Exodus 14, to the water coming from the rock in the wilderness, as we just read, to the crossing of the Jordan by Joshua and the people, and even to Jonah being thrown into the sea. And those are the ones that the New Testament mentions specifically as being related to baptism. But there's also a prefiguring of baptism pretty much any time there's a reference to water in the Old Testament, and sometimes even when there's not. So today, why don't we spend maybe some more time, at least in one place in the Old Testament, that looks the most like baptism. At least it looks the most like this to us as we use it in the congregation today. And I think we see that in Exodus chapter 30. The Lord said to Moses, "You shall also make a basin of bronze with its stand of bronze for washing. You shall put it between the tent of meeting and the altar, and you shall put water in it, with which Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet. When they go into the tent of meeting, or when they come near the altar to minister to burn a food offering to the Lord, they shall wash with water so that they may not die. They shall wash their hands and their feet so that they may not die. It shall be a statute forever to them, even to him and to his offspring throughout their generations." Now, architecturally speaking, this bronze basin is very similar to our baptismal font. Just like the bronze altar mentioned in the tabernacle is similar to our altar. Likewise, when we are washed in Christ's baptism, we are made priests. And that washing brings us into the tent of meeting, his church. That baptism is the entrance rite that brings us near the altar to receive Christ's body and blood. Our sins are washed away in that water and word so that we would not die. The baptism is ours forever. See, the parallels between these are pretty amazing. And they're there when we look at John's baptism as well. The people are baptized into repentance. They are prepared for God in the flesh to come to them. They are washed from their sins. See, the Old Testament had prepared the people at the time of Jesus for just such a washing. Though we don't really want to look at that bronze basin, as mentioned in the Old Testament, and see what really occurred when the priests had to wash themselves in that basin, because it's actually pretty gross. Because the priests aren't the only thing washed in the bronze basin. For those who are in Bible class, we didn't quite even make it to Leviticus 1 today, but this will prepare you for next week. And Leviticus chapter 1 gives instructions on how to prepare sacrifices. And verse 9 tells us, "But like the sheep or the goat or the cow or ox or whatever that is sacrificed, but its entrails and its legs he shall wash with water, and the priest shall burn all of it on the altar." And where do you think was the water to wash the sacrifice with? It was in the bronze basin. That's disgusting. Because what is over all of those insides that they washed off is now there in the basin. The same basin that the priests washed themselves with. So it turns out that all kosher laws were not just meant for sanitary reasons. Because this is definitely not sanitary. This is not clean. It's as revolting as using dirty water in our baptismal font. I mean, how can this be clean? There's blood in the water. That's precisely the point. There's a reason why John says to Jesus, "I need to be baptized, you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Jesus is the sacrifice. And as the sacrifice, Jesus needs to be washed in the basin. Jesus needs to be washed in the water. Because if we are washing priests, there needs to be blood in the water. If we're going to the tent of meeting, there needs to be blood in the water. If we are going to come to the altar, there needs to be blood in the water. If we want to live and not die, there needs to be blood in the water. If we're going to have our sins washed away, there needs to be blood in the water. If baptism saves us as Christ promises, then his blood absolutely must be in the water. And it is. That's what it means for Jesus to fulfill all righteousness. Because every promise, both old and new, are completed by that blood. Now, from our experience in the world, we would look at such a thing and we'd cry out unclean when we see blood in the water. But it's Christ's blood shed for us. And it is written, "What God has made clean, do not call unclean. You have indeed been washed and made clean by the blood of the Lamb. You have dipped in your robes and they come out white as snow. The blood has been shed for your sin and forgiveness has been delivered to you. Through that baptism, Christ has opened heaven to you. The Father sees you and he says, 'This is my beloved son or daughter in whom I am well pleased.' And the Spirit comes and rests upon you. And the fulfillment of all righteousness has indeed been given to you." That's what baptism does, and that's why it's so very important. That's why we have our kids learn by heart the words from the catechism. Baptism is not just plain water, but it is the water included in God's command and combined with God's word. And baptism works forgiveness of sins, rescues from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe this, as the words and promises of God declare. Because baptism is as big as it gets, folks. And that's why we remember our own baptisms every day. For not only did Christ step into history 2,000 years ago in the Jordan River, he steps in again and again and again for each and every one of us, because it is his blood that is in the water. And his promise is there, that you are forgiven in the very name that you were baptized, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.